The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
It's absolutely crazy. One of Britain's nuclear submarine spent 2 or 3 days chasing a Russian submarine to find out that it was a whale that was breaking wind.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Saturday, April the 12th, 2025, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled FDR Died in Office and Truman Succeeded Him 80 Years Ago Today. And the time is 8:20 a.m. here in London, making it 3:20 a.m. on the East Coast of America and 20 minutes past midnight on the West Coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. And that clip you just heard during the show intro segment was from Mike Walsh's debut appearance on the Jeff Wentz program, which aired in the third hour of last Tuesday, April the 8th's program on rentsradio.com. I don't use show intro clips. I used to try and use them more often than not in the Limeys show that I retired as it wasn't working the way I wanted at the end of last year. And I've got a load of clips that I keep that I find amusing, what have you, and I've used them all in shows. So this one, as I say, it was from a show that only was broadcast on Tuesday, so I found it amusing, so I put it in there. If I do stumble upon these things, then I will use them. I do have other clips where a presenter or something, it's funny because they make a faux pas on air. I'm sure that there's a few that of mine that people might have clipped out where I've been unintentionally funny. I don't use them in case it comes across that I'm taking the mickey out of the presenter, but I sort of keep them for my own personal amusement. Okay, so let's get on with your Saturday morning breakfast show, in which you bring the maple syrup and I provide the waffle. Wow, how about that? Okay, I said I'm not going to talk about shows that I've been listening to anymore in this show, but one thing that I have been doing, and it may be of interest to you, is looking at all the shows that I've downloaded over the years, and I've been doing this with Rick Adams. And I have this huge folder, and of course Rick Adams does the opening disclaimer to the show. Great broadcaster. As you go through a folder of people like that, you start to identify what you liked about the most. So there might be some guests that were on there. I mean, with him, I saved every show he ever did. And consequently, there's been a lot of stuff that I've listened to, and I'm like, well, I don't think I want to listen to that again. I want to be able to go back into that folder, you see, and listen through to stuff that I'd like to listen to again. I did something similar with Jeff Wentz a few years ago. I had 20 gigs worth of his show on my computer, no joke. And I used to save every show I ever did. And when you go through it, and then certain people you identify that he stopped working with, and you sort of think, well, actually, I think I understand why that is. I might be wrong. And you start to hear people, and it enables you to trim things down. And then for other reasons, someone like Tim Riefat, who was one of my favourite guests of Jeff Wentz's, so much so that he had his own folder. There were certain things of his that I enjoyed listening to. And then he used to talk about all these esoteric things and stuff that I wasn't so interested in and I got a bit confused with. So I went through all that and got rid of a load of shows that, again, I think I went in and I downloaded the last 3 years' worth of shows he did, at least, with Jeff, and just kept them. So at least now I can go in, and it's got all the humorous stuff in there, which is what I enjoyed listening to him for. But what I did then, I've got a little folder with all the subfolders in of all the different shows. So I'll give you an example of what I mean, because sometimes it's about relevance. And as you know, I am not afraid to admit that I am a sucker for fear porn, okay? So we're going to start off with, what I've done is I've been through all my folders and I've made a list of them in alphabetical order so I can go through and listen to stuff and hopefully have a lot of enjoyment out of it, but also, actually, do I want to listen to that show again? Delete it off. We're going to start off with Alex Jones. Now, I've only got two Alex Jones shows. One of them I'm not going to listen to because I know it very well. He played it again not so long ago. It's called Emergency Saturday Broadcast, World Shocked by Spars 2025 to 2028 Document. And that was originally broadcast on April the 3rd of 2021. And it related to COVID lockdowns, vaccination, stuff like that. This was a document that had come out in the mainstream. And they were saying that they've now advanced it to 2021. Well, we're in 2025. We'll see if there's another pandemic lockdown type of thing, and then that will be eerily look like the what we went through in the COVID age was just a trial run for this. But it's a very good broadcast. I've listened to it a few times, so I'll keep that. The other one I've got of his, it's Mike Adams, obviously as a guest. This is from August the 1st of 2021. The title of the show is Prepare for the End of the World as We Know It. Now, that's 4 years ago now, and the world hasn't ended, has it? So I'll give it a listen. I might end up keeping it, as sometimes I like to dive into a bit of fear porn, and even, you know, maybe in that show he's saying, oh, it's going to come up in 2026, 2028, something like that. I don't think so, because it's unlikely that I would have saved it if he had. There was a show I got years ago, and it was by a guy called Liam Kelly, and he was apparently translating from some sort of Catholic guy who wrote this all in Italian. He was in Rome somewhere, and he translated it and narrated what his predictions were, and it was all these elites are going into their bunkers, and Planet X is coming, and they won't have any safety there because they'll boil down there, and all this sort of stuff. And I ended up deleting it off a couple of years ago. I must have listened to it. It was only about 25 minutes long. I must have listened to it 10, 20 times, something like that. And whilst I don't generally like shows where they put background music to it, they use the background music to the film Koyaanisqatsi Scutsy, which is an amazing film to watch. There's no dialogue at all. You've just got this eerie music by Philip Glass and all these images of 80s society, 70s, 80s society. I think it was released in 80 or 79, something like that, maybe early 80s. There's nothing really like it. And the music's great, and it's quite haunting music, which really fitted the subject matter this Liam Kelly guy was talking about. So even he was predicting, and I remember he was predicting the dates, I think it was in May of many years ago. Of course, I'm listening to this years later. Well, it hasn't happened. But it was still an eerie sort of fear porn thing to see, a bit like going back and watching a horror film. You know what's going to happen. You've already had your scares and your fake scares, you know. Suddenly something happens and it's the music jumps and something jumps out and it's just the cat. And then the next time it's Michael Myers, you know. That's the difference, of course, between scares and fake scares, stuff like that. So why do people still go and watch it again if they've already had it? Well, obviously there's something about it that they like experiencing again. So I'm going to find it interesting to see, coming from the perspective that I do, if going into a show like this, and also I'll give you another example here, Richie from Boston. I've only got a few of his shows as well, but where are they here? Okay, let's open this up. Come on, open. Right, so this is from March the 13th last year. April the 8th, be ready for lights out, last call. And then from April the 7th of last year, Monday will either be the end or the start, either way it's bad. Number, we'll go back to January the 22nd of 2024. Disease X is 5G and it will drop people in the streets unlike COVID. And then there's one above that that I know I'm going to keep. It's from January the 4th of 2023, Too High to Drive, in which he was mistakenly given some sort of supplement that was supposed to not have the, what is it, HJC or something. It's the cannabis oil, but it's supposed to have the stuff that gets you high removed. And he ordered it and he was driving and he suddenly realised he was getting high. So they must have misheard him and given him a product that included it rather than didn't include it. And what he got, happened to him as a result, he ends up staying at a caravan site, meeting some unhinged woman and things like that. It was one of the funniest shows I've ever heard. So I already know from looking at that I'm going to keep it. But the people in my list are Alex Jones, Dr. Patrick Slattery. I'm going to enjoy going through Patrick's Choice Awards shows and the Punk's Attorney Phil, which I heard this year. And I remember last year's was really good. And I'm going to look forward to delving into that amongst other things I've got in there. Erskine Overnight. Do any of you remember Erskine Overnight? Great show, great bumpers. Great presenter, but as I recall, a lot of his guests, they're pointing to who's who and things like that were quite questionable, so I can see a lot of pruning required from that folder. Mark Collett, I've got a load of shows he's done. Michael Collins Piper. Mike Adams again. Now, let's go back into that, because I think there's only one show of his that I had as well. There's two. Again, there's one I recognise from November the 28th, 2024, which I sort of remember because it's not that long ago. Censorship is violence. All those who carried it out must be criminally prosecuted. I already know that I'm going to keep that one. But there was another one from December of 2023, Red Cell. And it, again, I think it had something to do with you know, fear porn predictions, things like that. So we'll see if I listen to and keep it. So that just gives you an idea of going through your own archive, shows that you've decided to keep, and the computer can get a bit full, can't it? Things like that. Getting rid of shows that you no longer want to listen to. And that's been what I have been doing at the expense of listening to new material. I did try a couple of things this week, and it's all been talking about Trump tariffs and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, I can see what's going on. I'm not even interested in it. Do you know what I mean? I'm just not interested. So it affects what you listen to, doesn't it? But anyway, here's what I found of interest in the news since last week's show. So just jumping over to, well, firstly, a lot of people have talked about this, so I'm not going to go into it too greatly. BitChute has closed in the UK, so I won't be watching anything off BitChute anymore because I can't. I can get I think they call it a VPN, stuff like that. I'm not going to bother. There are people that were on BitChute that have other platforms as well that they use, like Odyssey, odyse.com. So if... and also they can be on rumble.com and brighteon.com. So any people that you used to enjoy listening to on BitChute, just go to either of those three sites and type in their name and see if a channel comes up for you. That's my advice. And more often than not, they have got content on some of these other platforms. So that's something that came down due to... well, I'll read you a little introduction just for the benefit of those of you outside of the UK. I'll read you the first couple of what happens now if you click on any BitChute.com channel. This is what you get in the UK. To our valued users in the United Kingdom, after careful review and ongoing evaluation of the regulatory landscape in the United Kingdom, we regret to inform you that BitChute will be discontinuing its video sharing service for UK residents. The introduction of the UK Online Safety Act of 2023 has brought about significant changes in the regulatory framework governing online content and community interactions. Notably, the Act contains sweeping provisions and onerous corrective measures with respect to content moderation and enforcement. In particular, the broad enforcement powers granted to the regulator of communication services, Ofcom, have raised concerns regarding the open-ended and unpredictable nature of regulatory compliance for our platform. I might read it all, actually. The BitChute platform has always operated on principles of freedom of speech, expression and association, and strive to foster an open and inclusive environment for content creators and audiences alike. However, the evolving regulatory pressures, including strict enforcement mechanisms and potential liabilities, have created an operational landscape in which continuing to serve the UK market exposes our company to unacceptable legal and compliance risks. Despite our best efforts to navigate these challenges, the uncertainty surrounding the OSA's enforcement by Ofcom and its far-reaching implications leaves us no viable alternative but to cease normal operations in the UK. Therefore, effective immediately, BitChute platform users in the UK will no longer be able to view content produced by any other BitChute user. Because the OSA's primary concern is that members of the public will view content deemed unsafe, however, we will permit UK BitChute users to continue to post content. The significant change will be that this UK user posted content will not be viewable by any other UK user, but will be visible to other users outside of the UK. Users outside the UK may comment on that content, which the creator will continue to be able to read, delete, block, reply, and flag. Users outside the UK may share UK-produced content to other users outside of the UK as normal. In other words, for users in the UK, including content creators, the BitChute platform is no longer a user-to-UK user video sharing service. We deeply regret the inconvenience and disappointment this decision may cause to our UK users and partners. This decision was not taken lightly. It reflects our commitment to maintaining the highest standards of compliance, protecting our community, and ensuring that our platform remains a safe and sustainable space for creative expression globally. We recognise the value of our UK community and extend our sincerest apologies for the disruption caused by this necessary step. Our support team remains available to answer any queries or concerns regarding this transition. We appreciate the support and engagement of our community around the world and remain dedicated to providing a platform that champions free expression and innovative content, sharing in an environment of regulatory certainty. Thank you for your understanding, BitChute team. And also at the top, when you refresh it, it says, let's stay in touch box, and you can put your email in and click OK. Well, why would they want to stay in touch with anyone in the UK if they're not going to provide them services anymore? You can't view their content. Very suspicious of that. I certainly won't be entering my address into there. OK, other bit of news on the broadcast side of things. Robert Ravolt, who has got what's become probably one of the most legendary shows in the independent alternative media over the years. His Sunday night news roundup of the week on republicbroadcasting.com, republicbroadcastingarchives.com, where I download it, but the main site for listening live is republicbroadcasting.org. Or for downloading content, republicbroadcastingarchives.org. Okay, let me get it right. Third time lucky. He's been having guest hosts on most of the last few weeks, if not months. And he came on last Sunday, and said that the show will be ending. He's not interested really in doing it anymore. He might do a few more Sunday shows while they manage a transition to another host. But he's had so many people that have been prepared to stand in for him anyway. I wouldn't be surprised if last Sunday was his last and he just supplies some guest hosts to the network until they find a new permanent replacement. He did, however, say in his statement that he would be open to another slot on RBN. So it's not necessarily goodbye, but we'll just have to see. Watch this space. He said he does want a hiatus anyway, so wants a break for it. But you might end up seeing him coming back to RBN in the future. He's certainly one of their more popular presenters. So we'll see. Watch this space. And if I pick anything up, then I will let you know on here, even though I don't really cover shows anymore. Let's move on to news then. The first one we got, I'm not going to give you the sources, I'm just going to, because I've looked at different things with this, but it's been coming out in the mainstream media that, CIA documents even, revealing that Hitler did escape from Germany after World War II and lived out in Argentina. Now, the interesting thing about this is many people who admire Hitler in the alternative independent media, they 9 times out of 10 dismiss this story because, oh, he wouldn't abandon his people, he wouldn't flee and let them suffer and all this sort of thing. Well, they obviously haven't read Harry Cooper's book Hitler in Argentina, because what he claims is that Hitler indeed didn't want to leave his people. He felt he had a duty to stay, and so as a result he was drugged covertly. So I don't believe it was against his will he was held down, but I think that he was drugged and then obviously drugged a little bit more so he didn't wake up as he was ferried in a submarine to Argentina. That's the story that Harry Cooper tells in his book. So you can take it or leave it. You can say he died in Germany, but for people who say, oh well, he wouldn't do that, you get the wrong end of the stick. That's not what the claim is that I've seen. The claim is, as I say, that indeed he wouldn't do that, but that's why they had to drug him to get him out of there. And then some people say he lived on till the 1960s. I even heard a report on another independent radio show, I can't remember this week, some clip, that he had a couple of kids over in Argentina as well. So there you go. You can look into that for yourselves, as you can regarding vapes. There's been more problems regarding people that have been using these electric vapes that I've never really liked the look of. I did one time, I tried an e-cigarette, and I used it up within the evening. This e-cigarette was terrible. And then I hear all these stories about these things exploding and whatever, and I'm like, And I don't, for me, they suddenly just appeared out of nowhere. There was no sort of slow build-up, and now you've got all these vape shops and stuff everywhere, and I just, with all the other things they've done to us over the years, in recent years rather, they've really upped the ante of, we don't need to test this, while releasing it to the public, in many cases on a mandatory basis, that you'll lose your job if you don't take it, and then we've seen the results of some of the people that have taken it that have been negative. So I don't trust what things are being rolled out. I think there could be a very real possibility that things are being deliberately rolled out to harm us. And there's been reports of children as young as 17 getting popcorn lung from using these vapes, which is some nasty thing that I'm a little bit too squeamish to look into. But it is irreversible and it can cause an early death. And many kids are dying, doctors are saying, as a result of using these vapes. So, while cigarettes, at least we know the problems with them, and it's something that could finish you off again at any time, there's no telling what these vapes could actually be doing in the long term, because they haven't been around for a long term. Then we have the Office of National Statistics in the UK. They have said that their higher rates of suicide, 2.8 times higher for those who identify as bisexual and 2.4 times higher for those who say they were gay or lesbian than their straight other people, straight people. That's just in the UK. So people that identify as heterosexual, let me get the terminology right. And it also says those identifying as LGB. I don't know how that differs from what I just mentioned, but that was 2.2 times higher than those who identify as heterosexual. Quite surprised to see those statistics released, because the government doesn't ever seem to want to point out anything that could be deemed negative from these lifestyles. And this is a government department that released these figures. So, as I say, I was surprised to see that. Then we have a police force over in West Yorkshire that are blocking white British candidate applications because they want more diverse police officers in their police force. They're called West Yorkshire Police. Gave me the idea for a show title, Unhappy Valley, because there's a famous television series over here called Happy Valley, which focuses on a, well, mainly a white police officer in somewhere in Yorkshire, which is, this is somewhere in Yorkshire as well, obviously. And it was a very good series, actually. And there were other diverse people in her squad that I recall as well. But, of course, I think only the UK people would necessarily be familiar with that series. Although, I did hear Michael Imperioli praise it on the Sopranos podcast, one of the episodes that I have listened to many times. And that's certainly something I won't be going through and deleting episodes off. There, I don't listen to most of the actor interviews at the start, because most actors that I hear speaking are so obnoxious and woke and so keen to get you to adopt the virtues that I remember one of them talking about all this the sort of usual virtue signaling stuff, and then talking about how we were flown first class here and all. I'm like, yeah, dude, you're just giving all this environmental stuff and we shouldn't do that. And then you're saying how wonderful it is. You've got to fly first class here and stay in this first class hotel, the 5-star hotel here and all this stuff. And just hearing these people go on, it's like listening to someone regurgitating into a garbage can. Okay, so let's move on to Tommy Robinson. His team of lawyers have been in court. They're saying that he needs to have his prison sentence cut because he's being kept in solitary confinement for his own protection, and that is keeping him ill, because he's somewhat of a, is the word gregarious for someone who likes to talk and hang around with lots of people? I'm quite happy in my own company, as you know, but yeah, he's not been so happy there. I believe he's due for release on July the 27th, July the 26th, so I wasn't far off, was I? And that's what, 3.5 months away, something like that. But they don't want to wait that long. They're saying his mental health has been affected. And so they've been to court. And the latest is that the Lady Chief Justice Baroness Carr, Lord Justice Edith and Lord Justice Warby are deliberating, and they will give their verdict at some point in the future. I will look out for it and I will report it to you here. But obviously, if he's released at some point during the week, you'll probably know about it long before this show goes on for you on the Saturday. And finally, the last surviving member of the Are You Being Served cast has died. That was Mike Berry. He was 82 and he played Mr. Spooner, which was one of Mr. Humphrey's assistants on the male suit side, from 81 to the end in 1985. And I don't believe he returned for Grace and Favour, which was their spin-off series. He was a sort of musician as well, stuff like that. But yeah, it's there's probably still some others that maybe have bit parts in it here and there that are still alive. But as far as I am concerned, all the people who appeared in the front credits of the show, you know, that's the names that come up, like Molly Sugden and whoever the guy was playing Captain Peacock, and of course John Inman, who I just referenced. All of those people have sadly passed on, and Mike Berry was the last one to go. So there you go. So let's see what, I'll just have a look, because I've been doing a few different things today. make sure there's not anything else that I've written down that I haven't got round to covering. No, we're going to dive into seeing what's going on in the mainstream media right now. So, Associated Press. Let's go over there. The top story here, APnews.com, Mideast mediator Oman at the centre of key first Iran-US meeting over Tehran's nuclear programme. Apparently Trump has opened a window for a deal with Iran, but he's going to issue a warning if things don't work out. The talks are taking place this weekend, and we'll just have to watch this space and see what goes on. So let's move on to BBC News and do their top 10. I've actually cheated today, folks, because I needed to see the Before It's News top 10 for a little comment I was going to make, because it would only be applicable if there was a suitable headline for it. So I've already looked at that, and I've looked at this, but turns out there's a good reason that I've looked at this, because there was something that I needed to explain that I wouldn't have known had I not looked at it. So let's run it down. 10 is escaped XL bully found and put down after shooting. Number 9, Australia's looming election brings housing crisis into focus. Number 8, sunny and warm UK weather to fade over weekend. Yeah, it is very hot over here, yesterday and today being the hottest days. So spent most of the time outside in just a t-shirt. So it's that sort of weather. But it's going to drop down to more April-like levels from tomorrow and through the week. Number 7, US Special Envoy meets Putin as Trump urges Russia to get moving on Ukraine ceasefire. Number 6, judge allows Columbia graduate Mahmoud Khalil's deportation. So I think that refers to one of these deportation of people who have a free speech that's not allowed in the United States. Somehow the First Amendment doesn't cover to be deported. Number 5, can UK afford to save British steel and can it afford not to? So Mrs. Thatcher in the 80s, the reason she got a lot of money and she was able to do all these tax cuts and stuff that all these old Tories love so much is because she sold off all our national assets. So these are now owned largely by private corporations. So at the time, you could, when I was growing up, for example, you could all apply for a certain amount of shares, okay? And it was, say, 200 shares. And it was urging the country, all the normal people, to buy these shares. And I think they were like £250 or something. They did BP, British Petroleum, British Telecom, all these different things. And consequently, things like the railways and British Steel as well have completely gone, you know, they've become basket cases because the private companies are now relying on government subsidies to continue, which sort of defeats the object of privatising them in the first place. But obviously, quite a few people have made it money. As a small investor, I remember my parents would always apply for these shares, and they could also apply in the name of a child as well, even if you're under 16. So if you got them in the application, you could literally sell them the next day for another £100 more. So you're nearly making 50% on what you paid in just a day. So, of course, they said, well, you can do that with yours if you want to, and I did, and I got £100 come out of nowhere. But obviously, in the grand scheme of things, that shows that these public utilities were sold off for a lot less than they were actually worth. So I wonder who got the lion's share of those utilities. And then we just need to wind forward a few years after all these things were privatised. We had Black Monday, where all the share prices plummeted. And that would include all these utilities. And I wonder who was waiting to buy all of them up so that they control these previously state-owned assets today. Number 4, from Dubai to Lidl, how one woman's pregnancy craving launched a craze. Number 3, people might treat us differently. Trump era leaves US tourists in Paris feeling shame. Number 2, Parliament recalled and Harry Royal's trap claim. That's what the papers say. Roundup, no doubt. And number one, this is the one that I would have had to read to tell you about. Everyone's jumping on the AI dull trend, but what are the concerns? Well, I'll give you the headline again. Everyone's jumping on the AI dull trend, but what are the concerns? Well, if you want to make a Star Wars type figure of yourself, like an AI dull, that's what this is, because I was thinking, what's an AI dull? Is it something that talks and walks and that sort of thing? No, you use an AI and it feeds you back pictures. So you will give it pictures of yourself and then it will put them onto like a plastic doll, which is the size of like a Star Wars figure, and you get that in the packet, and you can choose the packing design, you can choose the logos, all these different things. And then presumably, once you're happy with the item, you can pay for it. And I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing some of these more commercially minded people in the independent alternative media starting to utilize this facility to sell Star Wars figures of themselves, this sort of thing. I can imagine the sort of people that would appeal to. I imagine you can as well. So, yeah, if you want to play about on AI and create a figure yourself, I don't know if you have to pay to mess about with it. You presumably have to pay for the end result if it's all made up. But you might have a bit of fun with that over the weekend. It's not something that interests me, but we can't all be alike, can we? So let's have a quick look at the Daily Mail. See what's going on over here. Gripping story of how Trump saviour shoved aside doomsayer MAGA loyalists and saved the world from economic oblivion. And apparently this is the Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent who got Trump to do that. Is it 90-day suspension on the tariffs apart from China? Yeah, that's the top story going on over there. Let's have a look at the independent media, RT.com. I really think I should drop this from this section of the show because they're not really independent. Let's see if there's anything of interest. There's an analysis called Why Trump Quickly Rolled Back the Global Trade War. So if you want their take on why he did this 90-day suspension after we heard news that he'd done it and then that was fake news and then suddenly he's done it a few days ago. So, and again, still this antagonistic stance towards China. What's that all about? We can see if that's going to is a important chess piece into something that they've got planned for us in the future. Rents.com. Let's go over there, see what is going on with the top stories. Just scrolling down. There's an article, Yoichi Shimatsu, one of Jeff's favourite writers, one of his columnists. That's the top. In Search of America, the Beautiful, which is not real estate for sale. And then we have in the first section, Zelensky to US. We speak as equals or we don't speak at all. He's still doing comedy, is Jeff's take on that. The IRS isn't going away, and this is how we know, just more Trump lies and deceit. Again, folks, when they set up a system to take your money, right, like the IRS, they are never going to allow someone to come in and say, let's get rid of it. Because you imagine how difficult it would be if you got rid of income tax to get it in again. When it came in, it's my understanding that originally only a few people had to pay it. I believe it was voluntary as well, and it was 1%. And this was after the formation of the Federal Reserve for some strange reason. Look at what it is now. And they only got it to what it is now through gradualism. They're not going to abandon all that gradualism all those years and just so that somebody has to pick it up again and start with the 1% for a voluntary group of people. Once the grift is in, they don't let it go. Think rationally, folks. HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Top story, Trump invokes Roosevelt reservation, putting southern border under military control. Now, I looked at this because, of course, today's show title is FDR died in office and Truman succeeded him 80 years ago today. For some reason, I have no idea what this is, but I had a feeling that this would relate to Teddy Roosevelt rather than Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and it turns out that that is the case. In 1907, Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, in a presidential proclamation, established the reservation in order to keep all public lands along the border in California, Arizona, and New Mexico free from obstruction as a protection against the smuggling of goods between the United States and Mexico. There you go, you can go over to that website and have a read of that article if you feel so inclined. Earthnewspaper.com, go over to there. And there is a video of my show with Dr. Peter Hammond at the top. The Cat in Forest Massacre and Why It Was Covered Up. So that is up there at the top. Thank you so much, Mark, for taking the time to put that up on Rumble and the other channels that you use. There is also other links. There's a shorter one here to a Rumble video on the same topic by Dr. William Luther Pierce. And it was a very good show. Obviously I was involved with it, but as you know from listening to the shows for Peter, he did all the work. But I came in with some stuff at the end that I was really quite happy about. So you just, when you're doing a show, there's many times I note things down because a guest has maybe mentioned something. I think, when they hand over to me, maybe we can go there. And then it comes to the handover and it's like, no, that moment's been and gone, you see, because I'm not, I don't do conversational shows. I let the people finish. So it's not a back and forth, which are harder to do, to be honest. It's far easier just to let somebody talk. And then no one can accuse you of interrupting them. And so they get cut off their train of thought and what have you. However, the downside of it is that sometimes something that you write down to mention, you could still mention it, but if the flavour of the show has changed and it's not that important, you sort of leave it. But when he handed over to me at the end, I think that there were some interesting things that I was able to refer to that Peter was able to expand upon. Okay, so let's see. There was something, I don't know if it's still there. Now, I'm going to, one thing I want to point out to you here, because what Mark does on his website is, I'm always just looking at that main column on the left, but he has a right-hand column too. And he has some great features. He, on his website, he has these daily features that he puts together. So you scroll down, you've got featured music, then you've got featured archive, then you've got book of the day, then you've got meme of the day, then you've got music of the day, so that's the one, then you've got quote of the day, website of the day. So don't bypass that section, folks, because these are quite interesting things that you're going to, interesting little anecdotes that you might want to bring up with people. So, music of the day. I'm just going to go, I'm on this one. This is something that it actually relates to yesterday, but it jumped out at me as something that could be quite fun to chat to someone down the pub about. On April the 11th, 1964... the Beatles put themselves in the pop history books by simultaneously placing 14 songs on the Billboard Hot 100. The highest place was Can't Buy Me Love at the top of the chart, while the lowest was the Liverpudlian group's debut single Love Me Do at number 81. By August of 1964, the Beatles had sold approximately 80 million records worldwide. Well, so you can find all sorts of interest. And of course, this music of the day, you just keep scrolling down and it gives you the dates most recent first and anything interesting relating to music on that day. So it's like a little book all in itself, and you've got those different sections that you can look at that I just mentioned. Okay, so let's finish off the show as we always do with the Before It's News Top 10. I see that I'm getting some missed calls, so it's a good job that everything's on silent, isn't it, folks? So let me scroll down while this loads up. Actually, I was trying to hold off, but I do believe I need a little drink of water. So I'm just checking. I need to check that top 10 again, just quickly, to see if there is... Yes, that will work after all. Okay, here we go. Number 10, we're up 6 hours ago, 110 people viewing. WTPN situation update, Trump Q's plan... Trust plan. The Q team's takedown of the cabal. Trump drops nuke on FEMA. Daft as arseholes. Number 9. Went up 3 hours ago, 120 people viewing. Juan O'Savin, Ron Partain and David Nino Rodriguez. Mass arrests, secret raids, and I refer you to the comment I made some moments ago. Number 8, went up 3 hours ago, 136 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted. The Cabal's plan, control everyone, Q's plan, ditto. Number 7 went up 3 hours ago, 137 people viewing. Kim Gogoan. Full situation update. Deep state's full moon rituals and global ceremonies continue. It's funny, actually. When I was outside last night, I actually noticed it was a full moon last night. And it really was quite pretty to look at. You don't want to look at it too long because it can hurt your eyes, you know. So, anyway, got some relevance so far there for me. Number 6, well up 11 hours ago, 161 people viewing. Benjamin Fulford, urgent emergency. They were all executed at Gitmo. Is that an old Benjamin Fulford article? I'm sure I've heard him telling us that many times. Number 5, well up 11 hours ago, 187 people viewing. And we know Trump and J6 set the stage. Clinton exposed, panic, DNI on election theft. Number 4 went up 7 hours ago, 201 people viewing. Juan O'Savin and Nino Rodriguez, shocking intel. They're preparing for a mass death event. Number 3 went up 6 hours ago, 328 people viewing. New X22, art of the deal. The global economic system is being restructured. Number 2 went up 11 hours ago, 398 people viewing. New Max Egan, the fall of America. And number 1 went up 6 hours ago, 576 people viewing. Most people have no idea what is coming. Elon Musk stuns Joe Rogan. Okay, so I'm now going to wrap up this week's show. I'm going to upload it for you, post it, and then record tomorrow's traditional even Christian message. So let's play the closing music for you. I want to thank all of you for joining me on today's episode of I'm Talking To You, number 220, entitled FDR Died in Office and Truman Succeeded Him 80 Years Ago Today. I hope this is the start of a wonderful weekend for you all. I'll be back with you with this show on Saturday. Until then, folks, bye for now.